listen to the first team, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first team.
A great big welcome to the Grill Room. I'm Bob Bupke, here with St. Louis golf broadcaster Jay Randolph Jr. He's also golf ambassador and manager for the Normandy Golf Club, the oldest public golf club west of the Mississippi. You can also follow Jay on Twitter at STLGolfGeek. Welcome in, Jay, and what a week in golf it was with our man Tiger Woods.
Well, you know, I think there were actually two winners last week, Bob. Obviously, Hideki Matsuyama, who was able to hold on. But I think Tiger was a winner with playing four rounds, showing just some incredible flashes of brilliance. I think if not making the most birdies of anybody in the field, the second most birdies of anybody in the field. And you get the sense, and you got the sense that, you know, whether the term he's back is right, it clearly looks like he can be back.
You know, good assessment by you, Jay, but, you know, one thing that bothered me, I mean, you know, and it's obvious, the people at Golf Channel and NBC, you know, were going miles out of their way to, you know, that was a bad break, that's a tough lie, this is a tough shot. I mean, almost in an apologetic mode for Tiger, and Tiger's so great, I didn't think he needed that, or I don't even think he would want that. And you know, 16 months away, 466 days, certainly a long time, but what it propelled me to do, Jay, and I want to get your thoughts on this, okay. I started to think about Ben Hogan. And I thought about February 2nd, 1949, when he's driving his Cadillac and a Greyhound bus is coming right at him, throws his body in front of his wife, Valerie, in the passenger side, actually saved his life because steering wheel went right through the driver's seat. But he had a broken collarbone, broken pelvis, broken left ankle. He had a broken rib, deep cuts around his eye. He suffered from blood clots. This is in February 1949. June 1950, he's in the U.S. Open at Marion. Not only gets to play all 4 days, but he has to play an 18-hole playoff and goes on to win. And right after that, how good he was, he won 5 of his next 7 majors. Now, I'm just trying to establish the point here that, you know, what Tiger came back from was big. I don't think the mountain was quite as high as the mountain was for Ben Hogan.
What's up saying, Bob? They don't make them like they used to. Well, I see what you're saying, and I think you make an excellent point. You know, at that time, there wasn't all the different techniques and research to, in theory, get somebody back quicker with all the developments that's happened in medicine and surgery. It makes Hogan's comeback and what you said with the majors even more impressive, I think, for people. I think the thing here, Bob, was because, and you and I have talked about this over the last couple of months, the uncertainty. I mean, could he even swing a club? Could he post an 18-hole score, let alone a 72-hole score? I agree with what you're saying, but I think we're in a different era, and, you know, everybody got locked in on this moment, and certainly the Golf Channel played it to the hilt. The question, you know, moving forward is going to be, what's next? Can he find some consistency? Can he deal with some of those mistakes that he made? And only time's going to tell. But I know you, as a fan of Tiger Woods, had to enjoy some of those moments where you probably felt like you were back out covering him at his best.
Certainly, I did feel that way. And I saw some flashes of brilliance. The questions that I have is I'm not so certain that he has the formula solidified as far as his pending schedule leading up to, you know, the big event is April, the Masters. How many times does he play before that? Can he play too little? Can he play too much? How do you know if it's too little, or how do you know if it's too much? I think those are some of the bigger questions that are going to have to be answered by Tiger Woods before we pass judgment. Yes, it was a great 72 holes. I was thrilled to death to see him play. You're right about the birdies. He made 24. Hideki made 24. Nobody in the field made any more. But still, you know, I don't want people to think that, you know, let's have a parade because Tiger's back, because there's still a long way to go.
No doubt. And it will be interesting to see if Torrey Pines is next or what is next. How frequently can he play? We know that he's usually very guarded before majors anyway. So you're right. There still are a ton of questions. We got some of the questions answered, which for those of you that want Tiger to be back and prominent in the game, many of those seemed like the right answers. But Bob's right. Time's going to tell. And, you know, how often will he be able to play, and how consistent will he be?
And the question, you know, when you start trying to assess, Tiger was so great, how much does he have to come back? Is 75% of the old Tiger good enough to beat everybody in the field? Is 50% of the old Tiger good enough to beat everybody in the field? I'm not in that camp. I would think, you know, with today's talent and today's equipment and today's athletes playing the game, that in order for Tiger to be competitive at the highest level, he's going to have to get at least 80% of the old Tiger Woods, and maybe that's a stretch.
I think that's an outstanding point. I think a lot of people thought, Bob, this is a guy that if he stayed healthy, could play into his early 40s and have already gone past Jack Nicklaus. But Tiger for the first time, and he mentioned it a little bit in the Charlie Rose interview on PBS, he's noticing his age, too, and he mentioned, I thought it was interesting after the fourth round, that one of the things that was different for him was getting out of the cart and walking 4 days. So I think you're right. That old adage of his C-plus game could win most tour events, that's not the case anymore. Not with the Hidekis, with the Spieths, the Dustin Johnsons, the Rorys, the Rickies, the on and on, Justin Rose, Jason Day. I don't think we're at that point anymore where just showing up and having a couple of good rounds and having this B game maybe would get it done.
Well, I think the way we should leave it here in the grill room, you know, the Bahamas certainly proved a very tasteful appetizer to what possibly could happen in 2017. We can only hope the dinner in the main course is going to be equally as good as the little sneak preview that Tiger provided. Let's talk about that Hero World Challenge. And as I sit here with Jay Randolph Jr., Hideki Matsuyama establishing himself as truly a world-class player. I was listening to a golf show last week, and somebody picked him to win. Did you happen to hear that show?
I did. It was this radio program. You have been tracking him and watching him and stalking him like you get ready to play a big horse down at the Derby. You said point blank, and you're very good at picking players in tournaments, that you really felt good about Matsuyama, obviously with the way he was coming in, and boy oh boy, you know, for 66 holes, he really played unbelievable.
And of course, you know, no Japanese player has ever won a major. And you talk about Tiger scrutiny, you know, as far as the media. Let me assure you of one thing. Hideki gets up in the morning, there's probably 10 photographers right there to photograph his first step, whatever he eats, whoever he talks to on the phone. I mean, everything is documented back to Japan. It is a golf-crazy nation. And the fact that no Japanese player has ever won a major, I think that Hideki Matsuyama is certainly in position maybe to become that first Japanese player to win a major.
Well, and that's the next step, Bob. I mean, you look at the way he has played in the last 20 rounds. I mean, his last 19, to be exact. The numbers are staggering. How many 65s and a scoring average of right at about 66. The next step for Hideki Matsuyama is the major championships. I mean, he has proven himself as a PGA Tour winner, a world-class player internationally. But as you know, in this game, rightly or wrongly, when it's all said and done, most people are judged on their major championships. And that's the next step. And as you said, that's going to even increase that scrutiny and that media coverage. I mean, can you imagine? Well, I know you can imagine because you've seen things like it. But if Hideki was in the lead going into the final round on a Sunday at Augusta, I mean, that place would be going nuts with the media that covers from the Far East.
Well, why don't we make a New Year's wish right now? It's Sunday afternoon at Augusta, fourth and final round. Two players in the last group ready to tee off, tied for the lead. Hideki Matsuyama from Japan and Tiger Woods going for number 15. TV sets will be blowing up all over the globe.
Now, don't get ahead of yourself. Like you said, you got a lot more to see before we can put him in that final round on the back nine on Sunday.
All right. Well, there was some other golf going on, certainly on a global scale. The European Tour started their 2017 schedule down under with the Australian PGA Championship. And somebody that you've been kind of keen on for a little while, Harold Varner III, came out on top. You've recognized his talents. I've heard you talk about him for quite a while.
Bob, my friend Skip Berkmeyer, who's one of those really good mid-amateur players, about 6 years ago played at the Sonny Hanna Amateur, and he came home and he said, I played with a young African-American who's got a lot of game, he's got a lot of raw talent, Harold Varner III, and I've kind of charted him through the last couple of years, and ironically, his caddy, Ray Farnell, is from St. Louis, Missouri, my hometown. And last year, after his tough final round when he shot 75 and lost the Australian PGA, I kind of connected with Ray, and we talked about maybe him doing an interview, and he wanted to lay low and let Harold get his feet wet out on tour. This young man has got huge game, and I don't want to lose sight of the significance in the African-American community and what it can mean moving forward, because that's a part of our game, Bob, that is still untapped in my mind. I know that, you know, 96, 97, 98, with Tiger coming out, it got a lot of African-Americans in the game. I think at that time, it was too expensive. It was too tough. There's a lot of different alternatives right now. I don't mind embracing the fact that an African-American is going to be on the PGA Tour and is on the PGA Tour and just won a big event down under. Huge win for this young man.
I'll tell you how big it was. The first American to win the Australian PGA Championship since Hale Irwin did it back in 1978. Matter of fact, he's only the second American to win the Australian PGA Championship. Congratulations to Harold Varner III. And boy, oh boy, we'll have a little pipeline with our St. Louis connection in the grow room as Harold embarks upon the 2017 season. And we certainly look forward to watching his exploits out on the golf course. You know, when we look, Jay started out the season 2015, he was ranked 281st. Now he's 108th. He's moving up that leaderboard. But congratulations. You know, some pretty good players in that PGA Championship. Adam Scott was down there, John Senden, Ron Pampling, who just recently won out in Las Vegas. Quite an achievement. Congratulations from the Grill Room to Harold Varner III.
The Grill Room is proud to be entertaining the active men and women in the military, both at home and around the world, as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Jay, I'm sure you know that the first event on the PGA Tour schedule in January is the Tournament of Champions, a winners-only event played at Kapalua Plantation Course on Maui. Well, we want everyone to know that the Grill Room's official hotel partner for the Tournament of Champions will be the Kapalua Villas. There's just no place that is better to stay when visiting Maui. And you can make your reservations by simply going to kapaloavillas.com. Jay, staying with our global golf coverage, let's take a look at what's going on this week.
And global we will go, the USB Hong Kong Open. Patrick Reed, kind of the leading contender there, certainly out of the players that aren't from the Far East. Bob, he flew from the Bahamas to Hong Kong, halfway around the world. He's got to be getting some show-up money here.
Well, there's no doubt about that. But let me assure you of one thing. When Patrick Reed walked into that aircraft, he didn't turn right to go to his seat. He made a hard left to the very front of that plane, and I'm sure he's going to be very comfortable up there. It's a positional play course, and he even admitted you can't be too aggressive. He learned that from last year. And, you know, there's some other good players in the field, though. Justin Rose, even though withdrew down at the Bahamas because of that bad back, hope he's feeling better. Ian Poulter, Danny Willett, the winner of the Masters, Tommy Fleetwood, Rafa Bello, Gregory Bourdais is the defending champion. So some good players, but I agree with you, Jay. Patrick Reed, certainly, if he's not too tired, would seem to have the edge. Let's go down to Florida now, the Franklin Templeton Shootout. Can you believe Greg Norman established this 54-hole silly season event 28 years ago, J-Man?
No, I can't. That says one thing, and I don't like saying it. We're both getting older, Bob. My goodness, 28 years.
And 12 teams of two players. They play a different format. On Thursday, it's a scramble. Friday, modified alternate shot. Saturday, better ball. And it's going to be played at Tiburon Golf Club at the Ritz-Carlton Golf Resort in Naples, Florida. Some of the notable teams, I think, Jason Duffner, Brant Snedeker, Harris English, Matt Kuchar, Sean O'Hare, Kenny Perry. And I'm picking this next team, Smiley Kaufman, Justin Thomas, to come out on top.
I like that pairing of your buddy, Sean O'Hare, with the pride of Franklin, Kentucky, Kenny Perry. I'm going to go with an old school player, Kenny Perry.
And Luke Donald's going to be playing down there. I know Luke is looking for a huge year. Going to be playing with Russell Knox, who is outstanding. And Bryson DeChambeau going to be playing with Lexi Thompson. She's only the second female to play in it. Annika was the first, playing alongside Fred Couples. All right, let's go through some news and notes real quick. Like, big news, obviously, for the European side, Thomas Bjorn has been selected to be the Ryder Cup captain for Europe. The great big Dane, he's been assistant captain or vice captain four times, played on three teams. I think it's a great selection by the European Ryder Cup committee, putting Mr. Thomas Bjorn at the helm.
The great Dane is a guy that is so passionate about the Ryder Cup. And so many of the guys that'll be on the team, he has been, a partner of or on the team. I think it's a good play. I think he'll hold everything together, and I think it'll be good for the Ryder Cup. The one thing is, you know, it's going to go to France, and that's going to be a little different than some of the Ryder Cups we've seen before. So I think at that golf course, it's going to even out between the U.S. and the Europeans in terms of playability. So it's going to be a fascinating Ryder Cup.
Let me give you a little insight into that. They were marveling at the size of the galleries at Hazeltine. 50,000 were out there. In France, projected to be 70,000 spectators. And finally, the PGA Tour champion schedule, that has been announced for 2017. And some 26 official events, four different countries, 18 different states, $55 million-plus in prize money. Two new sponsors coming on board, Japan Airlines and Pure Insurance, who's taking over the Pebble Beach First Tee event. And finally, congratulations to the co-medalist at the PGA Tour Champions Q School, Scott Parrell, Welshman Philip Price. Nice job by him. Also earning exempt status for 2017, Bobby Gage, Fran Quinn, and an old friend of the Grow Room, Skip Kendall. One question that we want to see answered in 2017. We'll quickly get your opinion because we're running out of time, Jay Bird. Can Bernhard Langer dominate again next season?
Absolutely he can. There's no question about it. As we've talked about before, Bob, he's kept himself in tremendous shape. He's a man of faith, and he believes in his own talent. If that putter stays good, Bernhard Langer can do it again in 2017. And congrats to Jay Williamson, who got conditional status on the PGA Champions Tour.
And Steve Stricker comes on board in February.
That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn, Audio Boom, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and, of course, Talk Sport 2.
A big thank you to our partners, The Golf Course, Superintendents Association of America, and The Golfin, innovative clubs for all ages, beginners to winners. That's their goal. So for Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., myself, Bob Bupka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf, like us on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
The Grill Room's official hotel partner for the Tournament of Champions is the Kapalo Villas Maui, the ultimate hideaway, where privacy is as much a part of the experience as the world-class facility. Three beaches, 11 restaurants, a great spa, championship golf, and world-class tennis. If a trip to Maui is in your plans, please visit KapaloVillasMaui.com or call them at 800-545-0018 to make your reservation today. Kapalo Villas Maui, the complete Hawaiian experience.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
The Grill Room is thrilled to support the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and all superintendents doing great work for the game we all love. In fact, we call them the unsung heroes in golf. Here's what two-time major winner Jordan Spieth has to say.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere. Golfin, the innovative award-winning clubs of choice for parents eager to see their kids fall in love with golf. In fact, let's let Callum McPherson, founder and managing director of Golfin, explain how Golfin GFK clubs take the young golfer from beginner to winner.
So our clubs, our golf clubs, are designed and manufactured, as you know, Bob, to make the game easier for kids so that we build confidence and they have fun from the very, very beginning. So we then kind of thought, well, what else can we do to enhance the enjoyment factor and the fun factor for the kids? And we kind of thought, well, what about golf balls? So what we've developed is easy-to-hit golf balls. So we've got a 60mm golf ball. Basically, it's about twice the size of a normal golf ball. Other sports like soccer and rugby, the balls are scaled to the age of the kids. So we're just applying common sense to make it easier for the kids to hit the ball, and these things just pop right up in the air. They're light, they're safe, and they're easy to hit.
Visit golfin.com. That's GOLPHIN.com to find out more and how to order your kids the gift of golf right now.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
Bob Bupka here with Jay Randolph Jr. And remember, you can follow him on Twitter at STL Golf Geek. All right, Jay, some interesting affairs going on this week. The USB Hong Kong Open. We talked a little bit in the first part of the show. Some interesting odds I see. Patrick Reed, 13-2. Justin Rose, I don't like him at 10-1 with that bad back. He was forced to withdraw down at the Bahamas. That seems to be awfully low odds for Justin Rose.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, that may not have the information from the withdrawal, but I would not go with Justin Rose. It'll be interesting to see if he does actually tee it up, because we talked about the long trip that Patrick Reed will have to make. What did Justin do the days after he withdrew down at the Hero World Challenge? Ian Poulter, this is a guy that, you know, I wonder how much more great golf he has left to play, because he's got that fiery attitude. And whenever he's 25 to 1 or higher, you might want to take a flyer on him. And plus, he won this event, Bob, back in 2010, so he's familiar with playing in the Far East.
Yeah, and I think Ian Poulter has a lot of desire after being one of the vice captains at Hazeltine. I think he wants one more Ryder Cup. I think he'd love to be playing in France in a couple of years. So we'll see how Ian Poulter does in his pursuit to get back on that team. One guy, even if you lose betting on him, I think it's a lot of fun. Miguel Jimenez at 60 to 1. He's almost 60 years old. But he's certainly one of the more entertaining guys in all of golf, Jay.
And a grand guy to be around. He's always got a good smile and a good stogie going, and maybe a little vino. He's one of the good guys.
Yeah, he sure is. And I love the fact they get about 10, 15 feet sometimes away from him on the driving range, and he just stops and he turns and he looks, hola, hola. And I say it back. He's been one of the good guys out there for a long, long time. Some interesting odds down at the Franklin Templeton Shootout. Harris English, Matt Kuchar, 7-2. What about Jason Duffner?
Well, as the defending champion along with Snedeker, and Sned's played well down in the Bahamas, you know, it's hard not to get off those two guys. But, you know, Duffner's been a little inconsistent. I love the fact that a gal's playing this week. The LPGA needs all the promotion they can get. So having her play, we mentioned earlier that Annika was the only other lady that played with Freddie in this tournament. And Bryson DeChambeau is another one of those guys, Bob, as you know, that's got giant game. And, I mean, we keep mentioning this each and every week, whether it's Cody Gribble or Hideki Matsuyama or this young kid or that young kid. I mean, if depending on where they're putting Lexi off the peg, I mean, if she's playing the quote-unquote men's tees, you know, I can't believe they're going to make her hit from all the way back. Don't sleep on Lexi Thompson and Bryson D.
Well, maybe I'm thinking long term, probably long after I'm no longer calling golf shots. But what about if Bryson D and Lexi fall in love down in Florida and they have a little offspring? Oh, man, that would be something. Their odds are 60 to 1, but I agree with you, Jay. They're certainly not going to make Lexi play off the men's tees. And if she plays up front, hey, she hits it a country mile, so watch out for Lexi down there, and a real, real nice young lady. I know I say that about a lot of people, and that's because in the sport of golf, there are a lot of really nice people, but Lexi Thompson right up there near the top. Well, Jay Bird, we started this show talking about the Tiger. Why not end it with Mr. Woods? How's Tiger going to do in 2017? Your thoughts after watching him play 72 holes?
Well, it's certainly better than it was Wednesday night. There's no doubt about it, because he has proven he can post four rounds of golf. When you look at that bogey-free 65 he shot in round two, I mean, that got a lot of us ahead of ourselves. But, Bob, he's so good for the game. I mean, the excitement, even at Normandy, people were coming in wanting to see what was going on with the golf. What time's it on? I mean, that doesn't happen very often. So I hope that he does very well. I think we'd be way too early to start making predictions about wins or what tournaments or this and that. But I hope that he's able to be a part of the mix in 2017, because it's good for the game.
And you know what's amazing? Tiger's been out here 20 years now, and as I've told our Grill Room listeners, I'm proud to have covered every one of his 14 major titles, and it was easy to say that Tiger was good for the game. And now, after all these surgeries, after all the struggles, after all the struggling to come back, I think golf finally is good for Tiger. And boy, oh boy, when we have it both ways, it can't be any better than that. Question that's going to be coming up. A lot of people in the grow rooms around the country, especially at Normandy, going to be talking about it. Will he contend in a major? If so, Jay, which major would you say that Tiger has the best chance of winning?
I'd have to go to Augusta. I just had, there are a couple of reasons. I think the fact that it's not a golf course that is so penal in terms of rough or bunkers or placements or this and that, obviously his knowledge. I mean, Bob, after what he did in 97, and I know you and I have talked about this before. I mean, that's one where he was going to be the favorite every time he teed it up until he was probably 50. I mean, just because of what he did to the golf course and what he has done to the golf course. But I think that would have to be the one that you'd most likely think he'd win.
And here's the amazing thing. You know, a lot of questions being bantered about Mr. Randolph. Can he return to number one? Let me put it to you this way. I think it would be far easier for Tiger to win a major than it would be to return to number one in the world. Your thoughts on that?
Nailed it. You nailed it. You know how the points work. You remember when Mark McCormick started it back in the day. You're dead on. If he got back to number one in the world, I mean, think about the winning he would have to do. Think about the contending he would have to do. That would truly be incredible. If he got back to number one, that would be bigger than him winning a major championship. You nailed that one.
Well, when you look at it in the proper lens, you know, to win a major, you got to have one great week. For Tiger to get back to number one, he'd have to have one great year.
That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn, Audio Boom, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and of course, Talk Sport 2.
So as we wrap things up, a big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, the backbone of every golf facility in the land. And the Golfin, innovative clubs for all ages, beginners to winners, that's their goal. So for Janice Self and my main man, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Do us a favor. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. And you can like us on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.